have your Bibles today, look at Judges chapter 6 with me, please. The theme that I've preached on all year on Sunday mornings has been revival. We had, in a short spell, about a week or so apart, two evangelists speak. And I don't remember if it was two Sundays or what the real reason was for them being here or what, but I remember that we had two evangelists come and preach, and neither one of them mentioned revival. They weren't here to preach a revival week-long meeting, but at the same time, the primary calling of an evangelist is to help the people of God to get close to God spiritually, so the result of that is more people being saved and evangelizing through the church. And so I decided that I wanted to explain to our church just what revival is and why there is a need and how we can obtain revival. In the book of Judges, we have a number of apostasies that the nation of Israel committed over a period of time. And after each one of these, the Lord allowed them to go into captivity to another nation of the land. And the hardship of that brought them to a place where they cried out to God for deliverance, and God raised up a deliverer. Look at Judges with me, chapter 6 and verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The nation of the Midianites were descendants of Abraham, so these are cousins in some way to the nation of Israel. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle, their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, I'm going to go into character here, okay? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You imagine this fellow's over here beating out wheat, hiding so the enemies don't get it, and an angel appears to him and makes this statement. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word today, you know my heart's desire, as my prayer has been this day, that you will help me to be a help to your people. Feed us through the word of God today. Equip us for what we're going to face in the trials of life. Help us to be people that draw close to God and seek your help. Help us to worship you in a manner that is pleasing in your sight. And help us, oh God, to find the grace and the strength that we need to make a difference in this world today, in this day in which we live. And to do that, we need thy help, and we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we here have the story of Gideon. It's an amazing story about the power of God. Sin causes us to lose blessings, and Israel lost their property to another nation, their reaping of all their things they had planted and prepared, and the enemies are either taking them or destroying them so that they won't have anything. Back in the day, the enemies would not only carry a sword or bow and arrow, they'd carry rocks and salt, and they would burn the fields of their enemy and put rocks in the fields and salt in the fields so that it would destroy the next year's harvest as well. They didn't mean just to kill them. They meant to put them out of existence. And I want to say to you today, that has not changed. These distant cousins of the nation of Israel hate them, despise them, want to destroy them, and they won't be satisfied unless they can, as they have said many times publicly, drive them into the sea and annihilate them. But I've got news for them. God made some statements way back. They will never be able to do that. There's always going to be a remnant. God's going to preserve the nation of Israel, and He will fight their enemies for them. And that's why that tiny little nation is still in existence today, with all the enemies that they have against them, of all those great nations around them, of Iraq and Iran and the kings of the East and all of these Islamic nations that despise them. They cannot annihilate them because God has protected them and kept them safe. That doesn't mean that everybody in Israel is right with the Lord. But God has a plan for that nation where He'll bring them to repentance and back unto Himself, and they'll become evangelists with the gospel in the tribulation period. But it's going to take great trial and great destruction before that day comes. Thanks be unto God, we're going to be in heaven with the Lord because of the promise of the Lord. Now, when a nation or a church or a family or an individual allows his compass to get off course, and instead of walking the straight and narrow path that God has laid out for us, they begin to go astray and follow a crooked path, it will take the miracle-working power of God to turn that around. God's Spirit will have to work in the hearts of people. They'll have to humble themselves. They'll have to seek God. They'll have to have the help of the Lord and be able to make changes when that kind of thing begins to happen. We need to get back where we should be, just as Israel needed to get back to the Lord where they should be. It requires a willing heart. It requires seeing our need. It requires humbling ourselves and repenting of sin and seeking the help of God. The desire and cooperation of all of God's people is important because God intends for us to have unity among us. If we focus on the Word of God and worshiping the true God and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible, then we ought to be in unity together. And that will give us a power that we cannot obtain in any other way. God doesn't bring revival to a people who are satisfied as they are, who've gotten lulled into thinking that things can't change, that we're just too busy in life, that we just got to keep pursuing our jobs and careers and education and things like that, just leave the rest of it to God. No, my friends, God is able, and God is looking for people that'll stand in the gap. God is looking for those who'll step forward and say, as Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And God wants us to be willing to serve Him, and He's able with His power to make a difference in the world we live in. Sin hinders revival. It hinders our prayers. It grieves and quenches the working of the Spirit of God so that mighty things cannot be done because of unbelief, because of sin. Gideon is used by God in the fourth apostasy and the servitude that followed. In Midian, it was only for 7 years. Some of these others was a much longer period of time in all of these committing apostasy, turning away from God, going into servitude and hardship. But boy, Midian really made it super hard for those 7 years. They were taking over. They invaded the land. They set up in their homes, and they had to go to the dens and the caves and all that sort of thing, just trying to survive. The Bible tells us here, first of all, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 8 through 10, God sent a prophet to them to cry out to them because they had they were impoverished. They cried out to God, and so God sent them a prophet to tell them what was going on. The United States of America went through a period of time called the Great Depression. Now, many of you, your parents or your grandparents told you about the Depression. There was a little bit of money, but there were no jobs, and you couldn't buy anything because there wasn't anything. There wasn't any manufacturing going on. And people were living off the land as best they could, but because things were so hard, they were often pushed off the land. The banks or whoever took it away from them because they couldn't make their payments. And banks failed. People who had money in the bank couldn't get it because the bank had failed. And difficulties of the times in which we lived in America. And people had hardship like we've never seen. They had hardship like we wouldn't believe. We look at countries today like Haiti. And other than the immediate coast where there's some tourist industry that provides income right there, the rest of that nation is so poverty-stricken. You've got children being left to raise themselves, living out of junkyards and pits where the trash is thrown from the hotels and the motels and things of that nature. And it's just an unbelievably impoverished area. And when America was impoverished because of the Great Depression, people turned back to God. There were camp meetings. There were singings. There was preaching. People sought the Lord. They were praying. They would ask God for their daily bread because they weren't sure tomorrow how they were going to obtain something to eat. And we've got it so good today that we don't even think about that when we bow our head to say the blessing at McDonald's or wherever we eat or at the home. We don't think about somebody who's praying for their daily need to be met. We've got cabinets full of food and shelves full of food and we've got things to eat. We don't worry about that. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We better never forget where that plenty came from. And we better give thanks to God. And we better be a thankful people and a grateful people and acknowledge that to the Lord. What we have is by His grace. Well, Israel got so impoverished, it turned them away from themselves and worshiping other gods, and they turned back to the Lord and they cried out to God for help. Their lands had been taken by the enemy. Homes in America that were once Christian homes where grandmothers and grandfathers read the Bible and prayed and set a godly example now have been taken over by the enemy. Their children, their grandchildren, the television, the videos that are watched, alcohol, prescription drugs, illegal drugs like methamphetamines, the problems of anger and vice that result, adultery, all of these things have let sin move in and take over families and homes and individuals that once were places where God was exalted and the truth was taught to the generation coming along. In Israel, they took away their sheep and their grazing lands, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and the kings of the east came and set up house against them. First real mention about armies of camels coming in upon the nation of Israel. If you imagine being on foot to try to fight and the enemies have camels, that's a great disadvantage and caused a lot of fear. Their enemies were strong and they were weak. And we let ourselves become weak as a nation spiritually. And no matter how strong our military may be, and I believe in a strong military. Y'all all know that I'm a former Marine who was in war in Vietnam. I believe in the military. I believe in a strong military. But I want to say to you, the military is not worth anything if we don't have God on our side. But if we've got God on our side, we can handle the enemies that we face. The enemy's strong. The enemy's many in number. We still face many enemies today. And it's like a landmines out there everywhere. When you go in life, you take your own life into your hands when you get on an interstate highway or a four lane, and so many accidents and so much trouble out there. There's that kind of trouble with morals in the world too. We have to be very careful where we go and what we look at and who we become friends with and how we spend our time. They will take away all that God has given us. Except if you're saved, they can't take your soul. But Israel lost their prosperity and their provision. They reaped as they sowed, and it brought them to a place of being greatly impoverished. The prophet reminds them that they've caused this because of their daily decisions. When people get into trouble, they usually like to blame somebody else for their problems. The primary person that the people of America blame is the president. Don't matter who he is, they're going to blame the president. They think he's the man in charge. They really don't realize the division of powers. The president doesn't have anything but a bully pulpit to try to get people to do things. The Senate and the Congress have to pass things, and the Supreme Court can intervene and stop what's going on as these judges that have been legislating from the bench rather than allowing the Congress and the Senate to pass law. We've had individual judges stopping things and writing law which they have no ability or permission to do. And the presidents have been making executive orders trying to get something done. Now maybe you have one president, you don't agree with his executive orders. You have another president, you do agree with his executive orders. But either way, it is subverting the way that our country is supposed to run, with the Congress and the Senate passing law and then the people voting on who the Congress and Senate are to be. And we just are in a mess today, and we need the help of God. The prophet reminds them that they caused their own problems. When people get into trouble, they like to blame somebody else. We are the sum of the decisions that we make on a daily basis. At this time, when God's prophet is telling Israel why they're in the fix that they're in, an angel of the Lord, verse number 11, chapter 6, an angel of the Lord appears under an oak tree on the land of a man by the name of Joash, who has a son named Gideon. And Gideon is out here threshing out some wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. That's what I tell people when you sit down to fill out your taxes. April 15th, they're due, and you sit down to fill out your taxes. If you have a job and they take Social Security and taxes out of your check, you don't have a lot of options of what you're going to do. But if you work for yourself, sometimes people thresh out a little wheat by the wine press, you know, to keep the government from taking it away from them. Because of the choices of the past, these people were in trouble. They had turned away from God and they turned to other gods. Many in the nations around us are in darkness. And the only way to publicly worship God is in an underground church in many nations of the world today. A third of the world, communism and Islam, have taken over to the point that many places are not allowed to have a house of worship like we do today. That we drove here in our own cars. We passed counties and states. We set up at a time here every week and we have a message from the Word of God. And we put that message on the internet so that if anybody's absent, they can access our website and listen to the message. And we do that without fear that somebody's going to come through the doors back there and haul your preacher out in front of you and shoot him and put a stop to the worship that's taking place here. But that happens in places around the world today. Underground churches come up in Russia, in China, in Iran, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And at least a third of the world has no freedom to publicly worship like we do today and to exalt the name of Jesus Christ and to stand up publicly and speak up for God. And we see the dangers of our freedoms for that being encroached upon Every year it gets a little more and a little more and a little more. There are places in America right now, like in Michigan. Michigan is a great state. It was a place where a lot of godly people live. But there are towns and cities in Michigan today that are being taken over by people who worship Islam rather than the true God. They come to America with all the freedoms and the liberties and the generosity that is given to them by the government, but instead of assimilating into America as Americans, they set up their own nation of people. And there are a number of them in Congress and Senate today as a result that they take over a community and therefore take over the ballot box, and they are getting people elected. There are dozens of them running right now in all kinds of levels of political office who would not put their hand on the Bible and pledge truth before God. And they may do it because they have to, but they will not defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, though they'll have to swear to that in order to be put into office. How long will it be before we reap from what we've sowed? They have a hatred for God, a hatred for Christ, a hatred for the Bible, and a hatred for Christians. And about the only thing they have in common with each other, they don't get along with each other either. The only thing they have in common with each other, they all hate Christians and they all hate Jews. And they have that in common among them. Secondly, the angel's message to Gideon gets an amazing response. It is a response that we may have thought of when some adversity has happened. We have wondered about. He said, if the Lord be with us, then why then has all this befallen us? And where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? That the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now that is a very bold statement for Gideon to make to an angel of the Lord. Most of us are not that bold. Most of us, even if we think that, we wouldn't say it. And if we feel it, where is God? Why is all this happening? Why are we going through what we're going through? And rather than to lay blame on God, we'll bite our tongue and stop short of a statement blaming God because we really know better. But most of us have wondered it at some point in time. People will ask me questions a lot of times. Why is God allowing this to happen? I can make some suggestions based on past history, but that's a question you need to ask God. He's the one that's in charge. I have no right to speak for Him except what is written in His Word. We know we all reap as we sow. And the reason a lot of people have trouble is because they're reaping as they have sowed. But I think about this. Number one, when I think about the cross of Christ in John 3:16, one of the simplest verses that our children began to learn as very small people, that God loves us. We know that. We know it in our heart. Christ hung before heaven and hell for you and for me because of His love for us. He laid down His life for us. And we're going through some hardship and difficult time. Rather than question or blame God, we need to remember that God has shown His love for us. I believe God has our best in mind. Romans 8:28 and 29 tells us that God, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Verse 29 goes on to say that God is working through His Spirit to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, to help us to become like Christ. And God will use the hardships, God will use the trials, God will use the difficulties that shape us and mold us and draw us close to Him. Because when we're going through difficulties, we usually will get closer to the Lord in prayer and begin to look in the mirror at ourselves and see if we are any cause of why we're going through what we're going through. Trouble drives us to our knees, and it drives us to prayer, and it has good results that come because of what we go through in life. God may be using us to work on someone else. I've been in the hospital a couple of times and had no idea why I was there. I was in traction at the Veterans Hospital in Columbia, South Carolina for 17 days one time. And my back went out. I couldn't have walked to the car. Sweat beads popped out on me to the size of your thumb, and it was like somebody had shot me in my lower back. And I went to the hospital, and they put me in traction. I stayed there in traction for 14 days. I spent a total of 17 days in the hospital. And when I got out, the doctor said this could happen again. I said, oh, don't tell me that. I was walking on eggshells as it was. It's kind of like what I'm going through right now. I don't know why it happened. I don't know if I did anything. I don't know how to prevent it from happening again. But I'll tell you what I do know. I know how to pray. I know how to ask God. I know how to believe that the Lord is able and that He loves me and cares for me. And God's not putting something on me like a rebellious judge that just wants to punish somebody for no good reason. Listen, if I'm getting any punishment, I promise you, I deserve it. But I don't believe this is punishment. I believe God uses it for whatever reasons He has in His perfect mind, which is far beyond me, in order to figure out His ways are above our ways. God may be using us to work on others, to cause others to pray, to be a witness to somebody that we come in contact with in the hospital or something of that nature. That time I was in traction, God put me in a ward with six other men, and I was a witness to those six men the whole time I was there. And one of them was a Jehovah Witness preacher. And he brought one of his men in, and I gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I debated them over what they teach and preach and believe. And that next Sunday, the chaplain asked me, when I was able to walk, to come down to the chapel in the VA hospital, and they pipe it through the system so everybody in every room could listen to the chapel service that morning. And I preached a full sermon in the chapel from the VA hospital that morning and gave the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if that's why I was there. I don't know all the reasons. I won't know till we get home to glory. Sometimes you see why you went through what you go through. But sometimes it's a matter of trust to just believe God that things will somehow work out for His honor and His glory. Have we not sought God to use us for His honor and glory? And if we are a willing clay in the hands of the potter, do we not trust Him to lead us and guide us and shape us and mold us into what He would have us to be? Gideon had gone through a lot of circumstance that caused a lot of trouble and fear, and he was very bold in his statement to the angel of the Lord. Thirdly, the angel of the Lord saw in Gideon what he would become, not just what he was at that moment. He said, "Thou mighty man of valor." It's like, who are you talking to? Me? Mighty man of valor? I'm out here hiding, doing what I'm doing. But he was bold in his statement to the angel. Let me give you a recipe. Gideon's name means hewer of wood. Here's the recipe for a hero. Take one feeble hewer and add God. The result is a hero who led in a great victory. Like Peter, Christ saw what He could become as a rock rather than the unstable man that He so often was. In verse number 14, the Bible says the angel looked upon him. It says the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" The Lord was looking at him. And the Lord is looking at us today. He sees what we're doing. He sees what we've done. He sees what we're facing. He knows what we're going through. He knows everything about us. There's nothing secret or hidden to God. He knows it all. He gives us opportunity to do what He has commanded us to do. And if we do what He's commanded us to do, we'll have the blessings and the provision and the protection that God offers to His people. He gave Gideon a commission to go. He gave the church a commission to go and, make disciples of all nations of people. Each one of us has a willingness to serve the Lord. God will give you a job to do. Moses had a call and Gideon had a call. And we have a call and we do the same thing Moses and Gideon did. We start making excuses to God on why we can't do that. Lord, I'm not able. I don't have a good speech. You know, my tongue's tied. I can't speak. I'm not able to do this. Send my brother. Send somebody else other than me. I'd like to see it get done, Lord, but not me. I'm not the one to do anything about it. I'm not qualified. The job's too big. I've got too many responsibilities. I've got other things to do. We're all inadequate when it comes to the demands of living a Christian life, of being husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and servants of the Lord. None of us are qualified or worthy in that position. But what makes the difference? The same thing that made the difference with Gideon. You take one feeble servant who humbles himself and you add God, and that makes the difference. 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul said, "It is not that we are adequate of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." In Judges 6:16, as God told Moses, "I'll be with you," he's telling Gideon the same thing. Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It's not confidence in us that we need, it's confidence in God that we need. We can't have confidence in our flesh because we know that we fail all the time. But we can have confidence in God who never fails. Gideon had trouble with his faith. He kept seeking signs from the Lord. Lord, prove to me that you want me to do this, you know. Put the fleece out. Show me your power. God gave him a test in chapter 6 and verse number 25. It had to do with him being a hewer of wood. God told him to go there in his father's property and break down the idol and cut down the grove of the trees and use the wood and make a fire and make a sacrifice to God. And Gideon became a leader with 10 men. He sought out 10 men to go with him. Verse 27, "And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. He went in and did as God told him to do." Verse 30 tells us what happened. "Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son that he may die, because he's cast down the altar of Baal, because he's cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, and because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Gideon's father had allowed this idol to be on his property in this grove where they worship the idol Baal, and now he's stepping forward as his son is the one they're trying to charge with this. He steps forward and said, "If Baal is a god, then let Baal speak for himself." You know how Elijah called on the people to worship their false god and cry unto him and make a sacrifice, and nothing happened, though they cut themselves and cried out and went for hours and hours and nothing took place. And then he said, "Pour water all over the sacrifice." And they put barrels of water on the sacrifice and made a dam around it and filled it up with water. And he just prayed and said, "God, show thyself mighty." And God sent fire from heaven and devoured the sacrifice and the altar and licked up all the water. And the people fell down and said, "The Lord, He is God." They began to worship the Lord, and they destroyed the prophets of Baal. Here, because he stood up for the Lord, 10 servants went with him, and his father turned back from the way of life he was in and proclaimed the true God. Now the stage is set for the battle with the Midianites. Chapter 6, verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. He sounded assembly for the people to gather to go into battle. My friends, the Bible tells us that the Lord requires us to assemble ourselves together and to be faithful unto the Lord. And Christ has sounded that trumpet, and one day He's going to sound another trumpet when He's coming back to take us home to be with Him forevermore. And when He comes, I know every one of us wants to be found ready and expecting and prayed up and have been to church and have done the things that we ought to do. Gary called me Superman this morning two or three times. Asked me where my cape was and all that. I'm not a Superman in any stretch of the imagination. I feel like I'm weak as water at times. But I know this, I have a heart's desire to be found faithful of the Lord, and that keeps me going when I don't feel like it or don't want to, or I'm tempted to do something else. And God help us as families and as a nation to turn to the Lord and step up for God in the midst of the enemies trying to take us over. And may we worship the true God. Let's stand together. Father, we love You and thank You for Your word. We ask You to bless Your people today, meet their needs and help them. If there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, speak to their heart. Help them to see the need that we can take the Bible and show them how they can be saved before they leave this place today. Maybe there's your people who have a need for counsel or prayer. They just want to come to the altar and pray for somebody else. All here are welcome to do that. And so, Lord, as we pause for just a moment, help us not to be so anxious to get out of here and go to lunch. Help us to pause for just an invitational song and for a moment for the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts and lives of Your people. Draw us close to Thee, O God. Help us to see that Your provision and blessings are all by the grace of God. And help us to be found faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need